The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right. Well, good morning, guys. We're going to just dive right in. Everybody have their swim shorts? Diving in. So you guys ready? If you have a Bible, open up your Bibles to Luke with me. Luke chapter 9. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles in the back. Raise your hand, and one of these guys will throw one at you. Just kidding. He'll bring it to you so you don't have to get hit in the back of the head. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. I'm a big, firm believer that this book has power. This is the only book in all the world that can change your life. These words are powerful, and if we open it, woo! Did I scare you? That's what's going to happen. The Word of God is going to come up, and it's going to smack you in the face. So that's what this week, John asked me a couple weeks ago to teach, as he said it was a little different. I don't know if John does that, but woo, did it again. All right. So in the middle of me talking, if I notice people are sleeping, since I'm used to working with children and youth, I get up there and I get in your business. So if I see you over here texting your girlfriend and your wife sitting right next to you, I'm going to be like, hey, dude, put it away. All right. So, let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and it has power, and I pray that as we look at it, as we hear it, that it would change our lives. As John said, not Pastor John, but John said, you must become greater, and I must become less. I pray that we would hear your word, it would change our lives, and that we would leave this place saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to keep my hands to the plow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. That's kind of what we titled it, and it's in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. So we'll start there. If you guys have your Bibles, follow along with me. As Jesus were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. This man, he was eager. He was like all in kind of guy. Yeah, hey, Jesus, you know what? I'm in. And wherever you go, I want you to know I am right there. I got your back, and I am that guy. I want you to know whatever it takes, I'm in. And I'm going to follow you wherever you go. This is amazing. Jesus' answer. A guy speaks before he thinks what he's saying. And Jesus' response to him is this in verse 58. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.
What does the fox say?
Ding, 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 ding.
What the fox say?
What did the fox say? I told John, I said, John, is this appropriate? I want to play the song because what did the fox say? Did the fox right there, if you have your outline so you can figure a little thing, did the fox say, oh, my material goods or the comforts of my life are in the way to follow you, Jesus? Did he say that? No. The fox said, ding, 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 ding. I don't have to worry, 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 because my Jesus takes care of me. I don't have to look for anything because I have a hole. Does the bird do that? Does the bird go around flying? Oh, where am I going to get my next worm? No, because his heavenly Father takes care of him. But the Father's Son, Jesus, he didn't even have a place to lay down. But the Father had no place to lay his head. No place. What does that mean? Give me some more understanding there. Guys, we can be zealous. We can be eager to say, hey, you need someone to sign up on the janitor team? I'm it. Hey, you know what? I'll be the guy that leads a Bible study because you don't have somebody. I'll be the guy that, oh, you need someone to change diapers? I'll be that guy. Or you're quick to jump in. And then you're like drowning. And you don't realize it. And it's too late. Jesus calls this guy out and says, hey, you know what? You think before you speak. You just open your mouth and insert your foot. And this guy disappears. He's gone. We're going to call him number one, I would be, but. So number one, I would be, but I'm too busy. I got this. I have that. And I can't give up my material goods or the comforts of my life. So Jesus goes on to verse this next guy. Verse 59. The man said to another man, or Jesus said to another man, follow me. Now, the difference between this guy and the other guy, Jesus calls this guy out. He says, hey, you. Duranus, I'm calling you. You follow me. And this guy's like, oh yeah, sweet Lord. First let me go bury my dad, and then I'll be in. But I first got to do this. Really, what it should say is, me first. Jesus, you're asking me, but me first. I got to do what I got to do first before I follow you. So the other guy, it was his possessions. It was his things like that. The other guy, let's give it to him. He has that responsibility. If his dad dies, it's his right and his job to go take care and bury his dad. But I don't think that was his issue, because if his dad was dead, he'd be at the funeral home. His dad wasn't dead. He was there tending and listening to Jesus, just like we said, oh, I got this obligation, I have this duty, I have this job, which is a bunch of baloney. But really, Jesus is calling him out and saying, if he's that dead, go take care of him. So the idea is, if he really is dead, go take care of that. But Jesus calls him out and says this. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury his own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. This guy, he can't do it because his responsibility, his occupations, these things like this weigh him down. He's too tied up. Or maybe it's the other way around. Back then, if you die and you were the oldest, you inherited all the rights of what your father had. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I can, but I first got to get my inheritance. I got to cash in the check because I'm about to get what my dad leaves to me. So then I'll follow you once I get what I want. Or maybe it's the other guy that says, you know what? I just can't because I'm too busy. I got to take care of my dad's business. When he dies, who else is going to take care of it if I don't? Right? So again, number two, I would be, but he's gone. We don't hear any more from this guy. Now we have number three. And Jesus says to number three in verse 61, still another said, I will follow you. He did not, the same guy right now says, I will follow you. Just heard Jesus talk about two other guys. And it makes me think of a psalm in Proverbs, psalms in Proverbs, that doesn't make sense. A psalm, it says this, the Lord, everything in the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. If it's all his anyway, then what's the deal? The deal is we still try to hold on to those things. The deal is we try to contain this or that because it's too heavy, it's too burdensome, and we can't do it. I have this responsibility or that responsibility. But this guy is quick to say, like the first guy, he thinks very little, and this opens up his mouth. Yeah, Jesus, I heard those two knuckleheads, but I'm different. I'm the guy that means what he says and says what he means. And he says, I will follow you, Lord, first. I don't need to go bury my dad. I don't need to go take care of this, but let me just tell my family bye. I'm in, but hey, guys, I love you, but I got to go. I got to do something great and big for God, but let me let you go. Jesus calls him out in an awesome way. And he says, you know, it's not about your family. I'm going to show you a clip real quick, but I want you to see this clip, and when you see it, it's the movie War Horse. Anybody seen it? Some of you seen it? Okay. If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie, and I believe it's based on a true story. But the movie starts where everything's against him. They're about to lose their farm. The dad's kind of old. He can't take care of him anymore. The son says, Dad, we can do it. We can buy a horse. We can plow the land. Meanwhile, the land's full of rocks, big boulders and junk, and this is not the right kind of land to do this. They don't want to lose their house, but the son's like, you know what? Dad, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. We'll do it. Meanwhile, everybody in the picture you're going to see here is throwing happy you can do it signs. Not really. Bunch of losers, there's no way. And let's watch this is where we're at.
I wasn't even cut yet.
Do you know? We believe we can do it, Joey.
I knew when I first saw you that you'd be the best of us. That's why he bought you. He knows you've all the courage you never had. I knew when I first saw you that you'd be the one who'd save us.
You've got no chance, lad. He'll not turn over half an acre. Give it up now. You've done well. You've tried hard. You're more than a man than your father.
Come on now, Mr. Lyons. It's a bit rough, isn't it?
Well, he'll destroy that horse. I'll be over Thursday. Give you a day to close it up.
You won't. I'm sorry, Rosie.
Let a child of mine slip in the mud alongside a plough blade. He can lose a foot.
You're likely to lose an eye, Mr. Lyons, if you carry on prating at me how to manage my son, or my plough, or my horse, or my field, or my farm. My mighty fools.
that last little clip of that. Let me start over with this. There was all kinds of things in the way. You guys see the big boulder? And you're supposed to go around it. As Christians, if we keep our hands to the plow, and we're going to read this verse, I want you to, when I saw this for the first time, I was like, wow, I got to go home and read this verse because I get it. I get it. So let's read it. Jesus answered to that last guy that opened before he was really thinking through this. Is first, let me go tell my parents bye. Let me go tell my family I got to go because of this. Jesus replies, no one, not me, not Pastor John, not anybody in this room who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of God and his kingdom. Not any of us. We have no business plowing a field and expecting it to have straight rows. Unless we do, when he grabbed the dog and he says, it all depends on you, the horse, it all depends on you, right? Did you guys see the horse answer? Woo! Yeah, I got you, boy. I'm going to do it, right? The horse says, I got to plow straight. I got to plow hard. And I got to do it. Even if it hurts. Even if the rocks are in the way. Even if the rain comes. Even if people are shouting at me, you can't do it. You can't. You're a loser. Now everything depends on this. If we don't do this now, we don't grab the plow, we're going to lose our farm. We're going to lose everything. It depends on me and the horse right now. Are you all in? We think sometimes coming to church is discipleship. I've done my duty for the day, my checklist. You're not going to like this, but that's a joke. That's garbage. And I don't want you to be like that first guy that says, oh, I'll fill up that list. I'll help stack chairs. I'll come early at 7 o'clock and crush beans and make coffee. No, that's not what it's about. It's about having a passion, just like that guy grabbed that plow and he said, I'm in, and I'm going to do it, even if it kills me and I get blood on my hands. I am in. These guys here, 1, 2, and 3, what if I think I'm in? I would be, but those guys are gone. There's nothing else about them in Scripture. That's it. Jesus says and ends with that. Well, that's kind of a lame story. Well, the truth of the matter is, do we keep our hand to the plow when everything is against us? Look at this with me. Flip over to your Bibles. Someone that kept his hand to the plow. Luke talks about Matthew. His name is also Levi in this passage. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 27. It says this in verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. A tax collector. They were very loved. They were like the best guy in the room. Do you guys agree? No! They were terrible! Everybody hated the tax collector because he was coming in and he was going to steal what you had. Give it to me, and not just that, you're going to give me a dirty eyeball? I'm taking more than what I deserve. You don't like it either? I'm taking you everything you have too, so shut your pothole. I probably shouldn't say that, but he said, I'm taking it all. These guys were the guys that were ugly. These guys that were the ones that were stealing and taking everything. The worst of the worst. He's not like one. He's not like number two. And he's not like number three. Listen to what he said. You got your Bibles there, or you got the screen. By the name of Levi, sitting in the tax booth, Jesus tells him, follow me. But I got to do this. But I got possessions. But I have material things I got to take care of. I have family obligations, my family, this or that. All of those things those other guys were saying. He doesn't say any of that. What does he say? Then Levi, I'm sorry, I skipped the part, the most important part. After he said, follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up. He left everything and followed him. It wasn't just about this, or I got to do that, or I have too many other things on my list that I got to tend to today. But it was, get up, I'm going to do it. And not just that, but this is the amazing part. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And he invited only himself. Is that what it says? What did it say? Someone just say, he invited what? I lost my place since I was looking up at that big screen. And Jesus invited a large crowd of tax collectors. I'm reading the NIV. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. And the Pharisees were there in verse 30. And the teachers of the law who belonged to him and their sect. And they complained to the disciples. And they said to him, why do you eat and drink with these tax collectors, these sinners? He was all in. He said, I'm leaving this, the pride of my life, the provision of my family. I'm leaving everything to follow Christ. And not just that, to do my Sunday checklist, but I'm willing to host a party at my house with the losers and say, come, because this loser that I used to be is changed because Christ has made a difference in my life. And I realize that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And only comes through him. And now I am all in. I'm like, dude, that is it. I'm going to keep my hands to the plow. I'm going to go steadfast. Even if everybody is going to crucify me and say that, what are you doing? And then I'm not just going to sit there on my duff, on my blessed assurance, and say, you know what? I've done my Christian duty. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to invite the people that need Jesus to my house. And come and hear who's changed my life and I want him to change your life. He invites them to his house and he has this party. It's not about me. I want you to hear the one who changed me. It's Jesus. Listen to what he says and he has power. Like the song we sang. If you want power in your life, get in this book. If you don't get in this book, you're going to be like the other bozo Christians out there that don't have any passion. But if you want to see Christ do things in your life, get on your knees. Get on his word and say, God, what do you have for me? Because this is new every morning and it will speak to your heart. I promise. I used to do that and I would say, John, this Bible is stupid. I have dyslexia. I don't understand it. And he would challenge me, just keep reading. I'm like, this is a joke. But man, once I keep reading and I opened up my word and said, Lord, this is your word, not mine. Speak to me. Wow, man, that was amazing. And when I saw that movie, I was like, wow, I get it. I got to plow through. If we're plowing through it, we're going to be like Levi here. And not just that, as these guys were grumbling, complaining, listen to what Jesus says to them in verse 31. And he answered them and he said, is it not the healthy who need a doctor? Do the healthy need a doctor? No, knuckleheads, it's the sick. I have not come for the righteous, but for the sinners to repent. Everybody that was looking for Jesus was looking for this kingly dude and garments and all of that, but they missed it. Don't come here and miss it. Hear who Jesus is and that he wants to change your life. He wants to make it be amazing. I love this verse. He says, I've come to give you life and more abundantly. That doesn't mean in heaven. That means right now, an abundant life full of joy and peace. Not Lamborghinis and big homes. Joy and peace in the midst of the storm. I will be there. That's a better way to kind of end the story. Someone that had their hands to the plow, had straight and looked on and said, I'm going to do it. I want to do one more thing, or two more maybe. This is the same story, different accounts, but this is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is teaching, he's doing a bunch of miracles and signs and doing things, and this is in verse 46 of chapter 12. He says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers and his sisters and all of them came outside and said, someone had to interrupt Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, your family's waiting for you. He's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In verse 48, he says, he replied to them, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he pointed at the disciples and said, that's not my mom and dad. My brother, my sister, that's my mom. That's my brother. That's my sister. The ones that are in. And then he says this. He says, here is my brother. Here is my mother. For whoever does the will of my Father is my brother and sister
and mother. Luke says the same thing, but he wraps it up with this. In verse 21, he replied and said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and put it on the shelf." Right? That's what it says. Don't ever read this book. I got things to do. Put it into what? Practice. You got to keep your hand on the plow. You got to stay steadfast. You got to keep your eyes fixed on where you're going. If you want to have your house, or you want to have what really depends on it, then grab that plow. Go get it. Get after it. The question is, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't really know where I'm at. I don't know really what the next step is for me in life. Maybe I am like that guy that, hey, I think maybe I need to be the guy that's all in. Maybe you don't know Christ. I want to say today is a day of salvation, the scripture says. As Levi's life changed, immediately he was different and went and told others. Maybe that's not you because you don't know who Jesus is and you don't know that power. But that power has come to give you life and give it more abundantly. I want today for you to know who that God is and that he's changed my life. And the reason I'm standing here before you today is because I've seen it and that that book has power and it can change your life. And there's amazing things that can happen when you open it. If you want that in your life today, all you got to realize is that you are a sinner and that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes through him but through him. So if that's you today and you want to know who Jesus is, I hope today you would say, you know what? I don't even know where to put my hands on the plow. It's because you don't know about the plow. The plow is putting your eyes on Christ, seeking him, and then grabbing it, and he will get you going. I love in that clip, all at the end of it, all the people kind of surrounded him and said, "You can do it." And they grabbed him and they picked him up. And then the dad's kind of off in the distance and grabs the horse and takes his hat off and looks at his son and acknowledges him. Maybe we're like that guy where Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done your job. You're running the race." Or maybe we're not. Maybe we're the Christian that's not running the race. We're just sitting in church, twiddling our thumbs and thinking, "He's going to do it. Why do I need to do it?" No, that's your responsibility. God's calling you. And if he's calling you, you need to respond today. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm being lazy and apathetic and thinking someone else is going to get to it. God is speaking to your heart, and if he is, get up and do it. Get up like Levi did. He got up immediately and then hosted a party and said, "Come here, Jesus." Maybe you need to have a small group. Maybe you're like, "I don't know if I have a big enough house." God will work that out. This passage of scripture was really speaking to my heart because I'm looking for a house and houses are expensive here. I'm like, "Lord, this is crazy. Well, you sure you meant me to move here? I had a beautiful house back home." And I felt like God was throwing a rock at me and saying, "Gary, I'm talking to you. Put your hands on the plow and go. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about this. Go, Gary. I've called you. Be obedient and go, and I will take care of the rest." And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep my hands on the plow. And just like that end clip, everybody came around. That's the church. We should be coming around each other, picking each other up and saying, "How can I help you take the next step?" Speak out to each other. "How can I help you?" Grab them, pick them up, and help them walk along the life of journey. It's hard. It's easy, right? No, it's not. It's really hard. Not easy, it's hard. He says, it is hard. And we are here to help sharpen each other, push each other. So right now, if you're one of those categories, I want you to respond. Let's all bow our heads. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you as we hear these things, that it would speak to our hearts as we take time right now to do communion and to respond. I pray that you would really work upon our hearts and that we would ask ourselves, are we just coming and filling a chair? Are we coming and just maybe filling a checklist? I am serving, but maybe I'm not serving with the right attitude and my heart is not in it. I'm just doing it because someone's got to do it. Don't do it for that reason. Lord, I just pray you would speak to our hearts and that we would respond now to wherever you're calling us, that we would be obedient like Levi and get up and go. And not just go, but the harvest is plentiful, it says, but the workers are few. May we rise up, workers, and get up and serve our risen Lord.
Guys, some of you know Christ. Communion table is open. We have them here and there, and there's one in the back for families if you want to take them as a family. But again, we really want to urge you. This is a privilege as Christians. We don't just eat a piece of bread, drink some juice, but it's to remember the broken and blood that was shed for us, that we can grab that plow and that we can have that hope and that peace. That's why we do that, to remember that He gave us that. Come now if you want to do that. If you want to talk to someone about salvation, you want to know that hope that I'm talking about, come talk to me or Pastor John or someone else from our team. If God's just dealing with you, maybe in your home, maybe my marriage is on the rocks, maybe I got a child that is wayward, maybe I got something, I have storms in my life, and I just want someone to pray with me. We're here. If God is speaking to your heart, respond today. Respond now.